If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
I've got a excellent panel here. We're going to be talking about something that you probably don't even know about unless you're in law enforcement. We're going to throw it over to Kirk and David to introduce our two guests, Scott Christensen and Paul Rizzo. But first, this fine podcast is sponsored by the folks at Team Hochberg. You're looking to purchase a new home, refinance your existing home. Give me a call, 855-563-2843, or go to 56david.com. Also tune into Homes for Home Chicago Saturdays and WGN 10 to 1, a show that I host as well. Kirk, you want to tee us off here, Chief?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about traffic safety today. So we're really blessed to have our traffic safety liaisons for the state of Illinois and ILACP on with us today. It's interesting, when people think about police officers, probably the number one thing that they've ever had interactions with a police officer is when the lights go off in their rearview mirror and they get pulled over. It's happened probably to everybody. It happened to me a lot of times as a youth. I got a lot of times I got pulled over. I got a lot of tickets, and I learned my lesson. But that is really one of the main things that police do. And I think when we look at the number one complaint that police officers or police chiefs get throughout the state, it's my street is a racetrack. Nobody stops at stop signs. It's all about traffic safety. So we've got a couple of traffic safety experts here to talk about what the Illinois chiefs are doing and what police departments are doing throughout the state to try to emphasize and enforce traffic safety. And we'll talk a little bit about what we do here in O'Fallon and up in DeKalb and how we try to keep our roads safe. Because at the end of the day, it's not about generating revenue, because that's not why we write tickets. We just want people to obey the law. We want people to comply with the law, and we want to keep people safe on the roads. And I want people to stop calling me and texting me, telling me that we have speeding problems on every road in my town. So it's kind of where we're at. Dave, right, you got something to add on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, everything Kirk said is right on point. And you got law enforcement agencies across the state, across the country, who have missions and details that they do daily. The good thing about the Illinois Traffic Safety Challenge is there's a coordinated effort during these, for all law enforcement to come together and take this mission and direct it in areas where they need, where they're having their most issues. I mean, like Kirk said, we have people who speed all through DeKalb, and we're doing our best to slow them down. And at the end of the day, we're trying to change driving behavior. You know, that's what we're really, truly trying to do. Like Kirk said, there's no quota in Illinois, so that no one's making, we're not trying to make any financial dents in our budgets or anything like that. That's not what it is. At the end of the day, we're trying to change driving behavior. We're trying to make things safer for our community. And the Illinois Safety Challenge is just one way to do this. And like I said, it's a coordinated effort, which I like about it, because you have all the agencies together working on a speed detail on this day, or they're doing a seatbelt detail all on this day. And we're making a statement to everyone that we're at the end of the day, that traffic safety is important, and we should do our best to make sure that everyone is in compliance. And that's all we're really looking for is compliance, and we want to change some driving behaviors if people have bad driving behaviors. So that's a good part of what the safety challenge can do for different communities throughout the state of Illinois, and like I said, throughout the country.
It is just a point of reference question here. What age demographic, in your experience, chiefs, are not wearing their seatbelts? I mean, it's just like opening a door to me, right? Open the door, butt on the seat, buckle goes in, turn the car on.
We have seen a drastic increase in the amount of seatbelt usage. And from our perspective, we don't have as much of a seatbelt usage problem as we did 20 years ago. It's so ingrained in these kids. And I kind of look at my own kids and I'm like, they wouldn't get in a car without a seatbelt. You know, they've been in seatbelts and car seats since they've been born. Right. Unlike me. So I think sometimes you're going to see a little bit of your older population maybe not wearing your seatbelts as much because they grew up not wearing them. But I think from what I've seen, and I could be wrong, but from what I've seen, the younger generation is very good about wearing their seatbelts. Not so good about talking on the phone while they're driving, right. But they're very good at wearing their seatbelts. Right.
Yeah, and to Kurt's point, David, it's you know, we've done a, and when I say we, law enforcement and also like we talk about Scott and with the Illinois Safety Challenge, we've done a lot with education. So we've educated our community and our motorists how important it is to wear your seatbelt. We all, there's statistics that will tell you if you stay within the framework of your vehicle in a crash, the odds of you surviving, I mean, is like I said, the numbers are extremely high if you stay inside the vehicle. Because of the technology that we have, that our car manufacturers have put in the vehicles, the airbags, deployments, those are saving people's lives every day. As long as you stay inside the vehicle, if you don't have that seatbelt on, you get ejected. I mean, good luck and surviving that crash. So I think the education has been pivotal in saving lives and also in having people wear their seatbelts. The technology in the vehicles. If you don't put your seatbelt on, that beep is going to beep, 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 beep until you hook yourself in. Now, I will say, unfortunately, they do have some other technology that you can buy to stick in the seatbelt chassis and it'll shut it off. And so
you're not supposed to be giving that information out.
I know, but it's out there. So, hey, this is a transparent program, right? So, hey, I'm just letting people know it's out there because believe me, I tell my children all the time, like Kirk said about his kids, and mine are all grown, Dave, but I tell them, hey, wear your seatbelt. I mean, your chance of living and surviving a crash, like I said, are so much greater when you have your seatbelt on. So please wear them. And I think that's where the education has come into play, Dave. So I think, like you said, we're in compliance. I think Scott and I could probably talk about the hard numbers of what that looks like. But I would say we're doing pretty good, Dave.
You have a website for that mechanism, and if they put in Chief Bird, do they get 15% off, Chief?
I'm just telling it like it is. If y'all want me to lie, then I'll just shut my
mouth. No, we're good. Stop by the DeKalb Police Station to pick yours up. Kirk, you want to introduce our two guests, bud?
All right. Yeah, we've got Scott and Paul from the Illinois Traffic Safety. Well, you tell me there are traffic safety liaisons for the state of Illinois. And I'm going to let them talk a little bit more about what they, the initiatives that they are in charge of throughout the state of Illinois and how they work with, police departments and police chiefs throughout the entire state, to keep our roads safe. So
who's up first, boys?
You're the boss, Scotty.
Yeah, okay, I'll start. So, as law enforcement liaisons, we work, through and with the Illinois Department of Transportation and the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police to reach out and inform and help agencies work on their traffic safety programs. Their programs, what we look to do and what we want to really help agencies do is to develop a comprehensive data-driven approach to their traffic safety. Like you guys said, it's not about writing citations and writing tickets. It's about developing a total comprehensive plan that the agencies can then employ to help them be the most successful they can be with developing traffic safety programs within their agency and in their jurisdiction area. With that, the law enforcement liaisons, we deal with every single law enforcement agency in the state of Illinois. There are ones that are grant funded, there are ones that are not grant funded, but we're there to help and assist them in developing these programs and to participate in initiatives that are both at the national level from NHTSA to IDOT to the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police.
All right, we got to get, before you go any further, we got to know for our listeners out there, what is NHTSA and what is IDOT?
NHTSA is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and IDOT is the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Perfect, perfect.
All right, so Paul, what is this Illinois Traffic Safety Challenge that you two oversee for the ILACP?
Well, David, this started, if you want the background, back in 1993. And anybody who's worked in law enforcement before knows the dreaded phrase, other duties as assigned. And this was some poor person down at the Illinois State Police who somebody dropped this on their desk and said, we're going to call this Drive Safe Illinois, and you're going to run it. So at some point, my former cohort, Steve Cass Stevens, who David knows very well, was a lieutenant with the Hoffman Estates Police Department, and he was a member of the Illinois Chiefs, went to the executive director and said, George, I'm involved in traffic safety. I like traffic safety. What can I do with the Illinois Chiefs that would benefit the community as a whole? And George said, well, we have a traffic committee. And Steve asked, well, who's the chairman? And George says, you are. And Steve said, well, who's the vice chairman? And you are. And George said, whoever you want. So you know who got the phone call the next day. Paul, by the powers vested in me by the state of Illinois, you are now the assistant director of the Illinois Traffic Safety Challenge. So we renamed it, and we started to get people involved in it as far as agencies and also sponsors so that we could make available equipment and training to these police departments that participated so that they could develop their traffic safety programs. As Scott said, we don't use we called it toasters for tickets back in the day. You don't write a lot of tickets and then get a prize. This covers six major areas. This is policies and procedures. You have to have policies that address the four major, the big four, distracted driving, impaired driving, occupant restraint, and speeding. You have to have policies that address a comprehensive and aggressive enforcement of these violations, because these are the four that seriously injure and kill people the most. Then we have training. The training component involves all the four areas that we spoke, that I just mentioned, but also anything that can be tied into traffic safety. So in your crash investigations, we don't call them accidents anymore. We call them crashes, because an accident infers that it's an act of God and there's nothing you could have done about it. But we found that accidents, so to speak, are predictable and preventable. Somewhere along that line where that incident happened, something could have been done differently or could not have been done that would have prevented that. So we want training in those areas. Then we have public information and education. And this is kind of what Chief David Byrd said. We want to get out in the community and tell them, we don't just write tickets. We don't just make arrests. These are the reasons why we want you to do the things that we want you to do, because it's going to keep you alive. You, your family, and I don't want to be killed by either. Then we have enforcement, because that is an aspect of training the public. Some people just don't get it, and they need that negative reinforcement. And then we have effectiveness. So after everything is said and done, after all your policies and procedures are taken care of, your training, your enforcement, what kind of a difference are you making? Do you have crash intersections that are bad every single year? What are you doing about it? Is there some sort of enforcement action you can take to make those intersections safer? Do you have a stretch of roadway where people are getting hit? And they're going off the road because of the design of the roadway. So it's not just enforcement and it's not just education, but we also try to get into the aspect of engineering. If there's a problem with the roadway that isn't going to go away because of the way the roadway is designed, we ask you to get involved with your Department of Transportation or whomever it is that works in that area and have that fixed, have that taken care of. So at the end of the day, we want you to show us what problems you have and what you've done to solve them, not just how many tickets did you write, how many arrests did you make.
Scott, are there funds set aside? I'll give you a perfect one, Dave. You know, Chief Byrd, you know this probably very well. Clavey Road off the Edens Expressway, back in the day when you were the state police, that was, I mean, you could go, I think, from California to Highland Park and not hit a stoplight, and then hit the stoplight there, and there'd be accident. And I live 15 minutes from there, right? There'd always be constant accidents there of drivers and truck, whatever. And they finally got their heads out of their rear ends and said, okay, we're going to put an overpass and dig down the road and make it go under Clavey Road instead of have a four-way stop sign for the first four-way stop sign in 3,200 miles. Okay. So those type of, you know, when Paul mentioned that, that was the first unsafe road that popped into my head in my lifetime, right? David patrolled it. Chief Bird patrolled it when he was in the ISP. I lived it because I lived within 15 miles of that, four-way intersection. If somebody comes to you guys and say, hey, we've got a huge challenge, right? We've got trucks and cars crashing into each other on a monthly basis here, taking lives. What happens then, Scott? Where does all of this, how did the ball get rolling to a solution? And how do you guys impact that solution, that cause and effect?
Well, if we're talking it from the challenge program, getting people to look at the data and data drive what you're doing. Anecdotally, you can know something's going on, but we really need to drill down and we help agencies and work with them to say, you need to look at this from that type of aspect. You need to look at the data. You can't just look at things anecdotally. You got to really understand what the problem is and potentially what the solutions might be to fix that problem. As law enforcement liaisons, we work intimately with IDOT, with the Illinois Department of Transportation, to help them meet their highway safety plans, goals, and objectives. And we work within that format with IDOT and or local highway safety departments to help direct agencies that once they look at a problem and identify it for whatever it is, if it's something that can be addressed through working with the highway department or with the Illinois Department of Transportation, whether it's signage or whether it's design, they are very, we work with them to put them in touch with the people that they need to do, and that there is this resource out there that is willing and able to help them address those kind of issues and bring it to the attention. So we help make those connections as law enforcement liaisons. A lot of times, everybody's done it where you call up the state of Illinois for something. If you think that's who needs to do it, you end up in a phone chain forever. You're being transferred. No one answers. No one calls back just because you're not at the right person. As the law enforcement liaisons, we help law enforcement agencies who have identified a particular problem be able to get in touch with those specific people that can help them out right away. And so that's what we do as law enforcement liaisons. But by developing and again, working with the challenge, stuff that we do and help them understand on how to approach traffic safety issues and problems, there's a number of different ways you can look at it. So by helping agencies and getting agencies to look at those things through training, through policy and procedure, through public outreach and evaluation, that by employing those kind of things that the challenge promotes, it helps agencies more effectively address the issues and allow us to help them and assist them with working through whatever problems they have.
Hey, Dave, if I could add
that. Yeah, I was just going to ask you to jump in here. I want to ask your question, but I wanted to ask you, how has it helped smaller towns like you and the surrounding towns? And Dave, DeKalb's not this, it's not, Rockford or Aurora, you fall into that kind of smaller to middle. How has it helped you guys after your question, Kirk, if you could follow up?
That's exactly what I was going to cover. It's really, he talked about anecdotal. Like anecdotal is like everybody's speeding. I see so many crashes here, but really it comes down to data. And that's where when you have the policies, the procedures, and you rely on data. And we try to do that. Actually, we do that a lot here when we have speeding complaints or issues that come up and say, hey, this is a bad air stretch of road. Well, then we'll do that data analysis. We'll put out something called a tracks unit, which, goes out on the road and it measures how fast cars are going, and they don't know it because it's, you know, it doesn't display the speed. So we work with our partners, you know, at City Hall, in our Public Works Department, with the Police Department, and then we try to figure out, is there really a problem, you know, and what time is that problem, and how do we approach this from a practical standpoint instead of just saying, yeah, we know there's a problem, we'll just try to figure it out and we'll go out and write a bunch of tickets, you know, because that's not always the answer to that. And to his point as well, and what people may not realize is anytime you're doing a road construction project, especially with the Illinois on an Illinois state road, which we have Highway 50 runs right through our town, if you are going to do any improvements on it whatsoever, then we always have a firm that comes in and does a traffic analysis on it. They're engineers, they're traffic data engineers, and they look at crashes over the last 5 years, and they analyze those and what was causing those crashes and were they right turns or left turns. So there's a lot of science and data that is put into designing these roads, so that way you are not having some of these big problem areas like you said you had up north. So not groundswell, but I mean, it's, we're doing what we need to do to make sure that we don't have those problem roads any further, you know. So
if you want to add on top of that, Chief Bert.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about the assessment, it's so important. Because people, you know, and it starts with the community. They're usually the first ones. Well, you know, they'll say, oh, my God, you know, they're speeding. They're doing 70 miles per hour every day on the street. Now, we realize that's probably not the case because they're just not trained to know what that speed truly looks like. Officers who have been working in law enforcement and traffic enforcement for years can look at a car and tell you exactly how close, maybe plus or minus 2 miles per hour, how fast that car is going. But now the community doesn't have that ability, which is understandable. So a lot of times we get that, hey, you know, and then we put out, like Kirk said, we put out a traffic trailer or something that, you know, a device that can assess the speed. And a lot of times we find out actually not going that fast. And it might not really truly be a problem as much as they think it is. So we got to be mindful not to have like knee jerk reactions to a lot of things like that. So that's why we have to do the assessments. We do have an engineer here, in DeKalb, who just put in a roundabout. We just, actually it's just opened up yesterday. So they put in a roundabout. Evidently, there was a call for this. The engineer did an assessment, tracked a lot of data, you know, and, at this point they decide, hey, look, a roundabout in this location would be great, and it would relieve some stress of traffic delays in this area. And so they put it in, and we'll see. I mean, like I said, it opened up yesterday. We'll evaluate this as it goes and see if this truly works out in based on the assessment that was made by the engineer. So that's yet to be seen, Dave. But to Kirk's point, that's what we do. We get a problem, we do an assessment, and then we talk to engineers in the city and decide if there should be a stop sign here. Should it? I don't know. I mean, like, we have to look at the data to decide whether a stop sign should be put here or there, and it's all based on a collaboration between law enforcement and the engineers here in DeKalb.
Scott, and Paul, I want to ask you this question. This talk about roundabouts. I don't know what I was watching, but the mayor of Carmel, Indiana, right, which is just north of Indianapolis,
yeah,
right? And he was on, and I'm seeing more roundabouts. You know, they just installed one at Costco here in Glenview by me and up in Wisconsin. They're all, I drop my kid off at camp, I go through three or four roundabouts on the way to camp. And I just thought, I'm like, man, this is weird, you know. And they're prevalent in Michigan when we go to see my wife's, you know, family in Michigan. They're all over the place there. And you know, now that I've been through that, I'm kind of liking them because there's longer stretches, there's less stoplights, and the mayor of Carmel, Indiana, or it was either Carmel or Noblesville, Indiana, whatever it was, it's the same thing. You know, said it saves gas. It improves efficiency of the drivers. And the amount of, they still have crashes, but the amount of fatal crashes, there's less T-bones and more bumper to bumper stuff, you know, more cosmetic that costs whatever it costs to fix a car, but less damage on the human body because you're not going into the side of a car. You're going into a bumper, which is a lot less damage. Are you guys, is that something that would come through what you guys are doing with the ILACP in Illinois?
That's why for you,
I'll let you fight it out. Who wants to take it?
I suppose that would fall into the engineering aspect that Chief Bird was talking about. If we have an intersection and we're doing enforcement and we're doing education and nothing seems to be working, well, then maybe we need to have the Public Works Department or engineering or whomever it might be come out and say, you know what, guys, here's what's happening. You guys have the college degrees. I took this job because they said there'd be no math. So you guys figure it out. And if we need to do something different, then let's do something different. I mean, you guys, for the police department to come in and say, well, we need this or we need that. Sometimes the city board, the village board is going to say, well, you guys are cops. I mean, what do you know about roadway design? So that's like Scott said earlier, that's why we involve everybody. And I wanted to circle back to something Chief Brueggemann said. In the challenge, what we ask agencies to do is to do an analysis of past incidents. So if they have an intersection that's having a problem, tell me what happened over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. Is it getting worse? Is it getting better? And then effectiveness wise, what are you doing about it? So that is something that we want to do with the challenge. We encourage agencies to do that.
I think I'm a marketing guy. And I always thought, like, if you had a very heavy trafficked area that was getting into a lot of accidents, I would sponsor it as an auto body shop. I would say ABC Auto Body Shop sponsors this intersection because there's a 20% chance you're going to get into an accident. Have you guys ever thought about, you know, putting a little marketing money behind it and getting auto body shops to try to fund that? Just, you know, marketing, you know, Northern Illinois University Business School.
That's an excellent idea.
1988. I just thought I'd throw it out there. You're welcome, Dave. You could bring that to the marketing department. I say that in jest, but joking. But in all seriousness, is anything like that talked about? Bringing in corporate sponsors to try to fix these problems where you're constantly having accidents or speed or speeding or something like that.
Well, one of the things that this program does is by being involved in the challenge or working with law enforcement liaisons is that we see a lot of best practices of things and innovative and really cool things that agencies, villages are doing. And part of this program that we have is that those types of programs and things to what you're saying is that we see something that's really cool or innovative is that we share that. We ask agencies to share it. It's not proprietary to say, well, this is something that, XYZ, DeKalb Police Department has. If Chief Burns comes up with a really cool idea, we as law enforcement liaisons and through this challenge program will help push that information out and say, here's some examples of things that agencies are doing around the state and in some cases the country that are working, that are really innovative, that are cool. And then we leave it up to the agency to say, well, is this something that's going to work in your jurisdiction? Is this something that's going to work in your area? Obviously, things that work in a rural setting like DeKalb and around there is going to be different from those agencies that are around Lincolnshire and Buffalo Grove and that. But what we do is we try and bring those kind of ideas and put them out there as liaisons and through the program for agencies to go, oh, I haven't thought about that. And what are what do they say? The greatest form of compliment is copying. I don't know what
that's flattery.
This is the newest form of flattery.
Yes. Yeah. And so so that's what we really look to do. We look to try and push that information out there and get people thinking and help them find different ways to get the messaging out. The biggest thing that we look at, with the challenge when we're looking at applications is what are you doing for outreach? What are you doing for public information and education? That's a big portion of the agencies who actually end up winning this friendly competition do. You have that outreach, you have that data-driven approach, you use these innovative ways of getting out there, and that is what we're really looking to push in this program.
So Paul, for the forces that are looking to participate, right, or maybe some states that don't have this type of program, what are some of the creative and innovative and groundbreaking things that other forces have done that have won the competition that you could lend to others that want to participate? What has caught your guys' eyes to be like, huh, you know what, this is pretty damn creative. More people should use it and get it in front of us. What have other forces done in order to highlight what they want to push in front of you?
Wow, you got to help me out, Scott. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. We used to have an International Association of Houston Police Chiefs Challenge. And as Scott mentioned, you know, other agencies from other parts of the country, sometimes they would come up with some really innovative ideas. Trying to think off the top of my head, we just did the applications in May, and I'm trying to think what people have done that's out of the ordinary.
There's different, it depends on, you know, from an enforcement standpoint. I'll give you some examples of it's public information. It's kind of enforcement. You've seen schools starting now, right? You know, at this time when we're doing this, school's about to do that. And so we've seen agencies, that in school zones, what they've done is they've taken cutouts of pretty much life-size little kids and placed them near intersections around schools to kind of get kids drivers' attentions, and like the wind will blow it and it'll move a little bit or something. They're not kids, but it certainly gets people's attention. So they'll do something that's innovative to get and change driver behavior to get their attention. Even though there's not kids there, they're still, it changes that behavior. Agencies have put traffic safety messages in fortune cookies. We saw that where, you know, they put like, you know, your lucky numbers are on the speed limit sign, you know, and you break it open. And so everybody's going, what did you, I'm going to be rich and famous. I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. And, you know, and this is their safety message, you know, so there's, you know, it's outreach. It's, different types of enforcement. You know, you may have seen, you know, police departments that'll be in cherry pickers or, you know, being, you know, looking for distracted drivers, and they'll be looking and dressed as solicitors at corners, you know, so there's different types of things that they can do that are innovative in all those different areas, that can help people get the message out so that they can change the behavior and make their roadway safer.
Well, now that I'm not on the spot, a couple of them came up. One of the agencies,
and I wish I was doing a tap dance for you, Paul.
There you go, Paul.
IDOT has tag, or used to, I don't think they still do, has tags for Christmas time. You would tie them on the Christmas trees, these guys in the parking lots that sell Christmas trees. And it had a message on there, stay safe on the holidays. One of the agencies that we used to work with went to liquor stores and asked them if they could tie them onto liquor bottles, which they did for a while. Then they had the bright idea to do it in the high school. So during the class period, they tied them to everybody's locker up and down the halls. Well, the janitors weren't too happy about that because the kids read them and then threw them on the floor. But that's one other thing that they did. My agency, we had construction going on. So we put a guy with a laser in a work uniform, in a vest and a hard hat, and he would get people speeding and call out the chase car down the road, and they would grab them. And people would never know, how'd you know I was speeding? So the sky's the limit as far as imagination goes. We've seen some very creative things and a lot of very, very effective results.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chief.
I was going to say, State Police years ago, we started putting troopers in semis so we could have a higher vantage point.
Right.
We could call out distracted drivers, which was, that was something that was unique. Like you said, like Paul and Scott are saying, Dave, sometimes you got to think outside the box. Social media is big now. So I know, you know, you might consider, you know, sometimes having, especially when school is about to begin, if you have some children that want to put out a social media message to say, hey, look out for me, I'm starting school again. Sometimes that pulls on people's heartstrings, you know, when they see children actually delivering the message about, you know, being safe around school zones. So, you know, you got to try different things to drive home the point, because I think they at some point they drown out law enforcement. They see Kirk and I in our uniforms and we're giving the same message every year. Sometimes you have to do something different to shock the senses for people. And then that's sometimes it's how you drive the point as well. Dave, I just want to throw it
out. Yeah, we put Facebook posts out that we have a helicopter driving around town.
There you go.
And people believe it. Well, we don't have a helicopter. And they're like, where do you get a helicopter for traffic control? And we're like, we just put a picture of a helicopter out there and said, we're out there looking for speeders today. I've run across departments that put mannequins in police cars and then set them on the thing. I mean, even me. I'm a police chief and I've been a police officer for 26 years. When I see a police car, I instinctively still, slow down a little bit, you know? So, you know, makes, you know, a little bit of presence goes a long way.
Chief Byrd, about 6 weeks ago, you posted something with the DeKalb High School Cheerleading Corps.
Yep.
I see a cheer in the future. Just again, marketing degree, 1988, Northern Illinois University. You know, a cheer from the DeKalb cheerleaders to encourage people to slow down, and you're welcome for that great idea to submit to next year's challenge that you'll probably win because it's such an awesome idea. So for Scott and Paul, what do police forces win if they win the challenge, or is it just recognition? Is there a monetary reward, or is it just you get an attaboy and public recognition amongst your peers? What type of award goes behind the challenge?
Well, other than a hearty handshake and the warm glow of victory?
Yeah, other than that.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things about the challenge is that we have categories. So agencies, like a small agencies, you know, we have 1 to 10 to up to hundreds of that. And so you compete against a like size and like type agencies. So sheriff's offices are designed differently than small agencies, rural versus metropolitan. And so when you get recognized, obviously what we're looking at is you're going to get, we have a recognition breakfast that we do. We just had a week ago that we recognize the agencies at. And so we have plaques and recognitions for those kind of things. But the other thing, like Paul had mentioned, is that we partner with a lot of different vendors that we put out, Northwestern, AAA, different types of equipment companies that that will donate either training, that will donate monetary for us to run the program and purchase things and run the program to actual pieces of equipment. And so what we'll do is I think the grand prize this year, you know, we had an equipment package for the police departments that was valued, you know, $30,000 or so. But it's not who writes the most tickets. It's who has the most comprehensive program. And so you'll get a recognition. Yes, you'll get a plaque, and that's good. And then the other thing you'll get is, you know, we try and push out equipment and things that will help you do your traffic safety efforts to be more effective, whether that's a LIDAR or radar training, equipment. You know, there's a lot of things that we try and push out and get as much things to the agencies as possible with that. But again, it's like size departments. You're not going to compete against, you know, small department against the large departments. What are you doing with the stuff you have available to you? You know, so if you have a large budget, some not so much.
So who was the champion this year?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Kirk.
No, who won the whole thing this year?
The
Judges Award was Hanover Park.
Yeah.
Why? What did they do that was so unique and creative that they stood out amongst everybody else?
Well, one of the aspects that we look at is the six categories that I talked about, but also we look at presentation. So how did you do what you did with what you have? Like Scott said, they're not the largest department in the country or the state. So with a smaller budget, And with a town that has a large residential population, they used their resources better than anybody else did. And that makes them, and you don't even have to be, the thing about it is you don't even have to win first place in your category in order to win the judge's award. So if somebody else had more more points, so to speak, but you were an agency that did a lot with what you had compared to the other agencies, then that's how, that's one of the ways we look at to award that judge's award.
Interesting. So in closing, guys, Chiefs, I'll let you guys, you know, wrap it up. What is it, you know, from a Chiefs standpoint that you want the public to know how valuable Scott and Paul are and the work that they do on the Illinois Traffic Safety Challenge? Why should our residents of Illinois and anybody else in any other state, you know, maybe other states don't have something like this, and be, if a Chief's watching another state, be like, you know what, this is a great thing that Scott and Paul are doing. We should have the same doggone thing. I don't know why we're not doing it here. You know, from a Chief's viewpoint, from, you know, I'll start with Chief Brogman. I'll end with Chief Bird. And plus, we'll show the picture of Chief Bird in his sunglasses, Kirk. So get that up, because that is too good not to share with the class. You guys, Scott and Paul, you're going to appreciate this at the end. So this will just, you know, this will be a tease to keep everybody on until the very end. But, you know, Chief Brogman, why should our residents of Illinois care about this? And what should other states that aren't doing this get involved?
Well, they already do care, because, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, it's the number one complaint that we get is about traffic. It's about people not obeying traffic signals. It's about people speeding. So they should care that we are taking it seriously and that we're listening to what they do. And we're developing programs, policies, procedures, data-driven things that make a difference. And that's what it helps a lot with, especially when you have a smaller department with not a lot of resources, okay? And then you get these liaisons coming in and giving you the blueprint, like, this is what's working throughout the state. This is what other people are doing. We're going to help you get together a program to make your streets safer. And that's ultimately what it is. You're not just going out and willy-nilly doing this. I mean, great, there's a lot of things that we can try and do things, but it's awesome to have that blueprint and have somebody come in and say, look, this is what works. This is the data-driven. This is what you need to be successful in this. So that's really important, especially for smaller departments that don't have a lot of resources. And one thing I want to make sure that I get out to is, you know, I talk about writing tickets, and it's not about writing tickets. It's not about getting revenue from tickets. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, the comments are always, oh, I get it. You know, you said toasters for tickets, different things like that. Just to give you some perspective on where we are, we have a $9 million budget for the city of O'Fallon. For our police department, $9 million, which is a sizable budget, not the Cal money, but, we bring in, about $170,000 a year in court fines. And that's from DUIs. That's from criminal cases too. I don't have a way to break it out where the traffic tickets are. So that's 1.9% of our budget. So if you told me tomorrow, hey, we're not going to give you any money for any of the traffic tickets, I wouldn't care. That would not make hardly a dent in my budget. We would still operate. We would still do things the same way. So there's a misconception out there that you do this traffic for revenue. I mean, that's not the case at all. The revenue is so small. We do the traffic for the safety for our citizens.
Chief Bird?
Yeah, I agree. And just, great segue from Kirk, because it is about safety and it is about changing driving behavior. We want to change the culture of how we use our motor vehicles throughout the state of Illinois, and then especially in the cities. But I think people should know that that we do have these great partnerships outside of our agency, outside of our city. Like Scott and I have been friends for years, and you know, we have these connections, and you know, and we're. And you talk about a true collaboration, Dave. So, you know, we have a problem that we're not just, you know, standing on our laurels here in the city of DeKalb and trying to fix it by ourselves. We're reaching outside, outside the agency, outside the city to look for assistance and making sure that we provide public safety. And, you know, and like Kirk said, the community's all in, because that's exactly, you know, I get more complaints about speeding or just overall, reckless driving complaints. Only other thing that I deal with in DeKalb way more than that is domestic violence, which is a whole different topic. But it's mainly, you know, trying to change, driving behavior and get people to be in compliance. That's all we want. We don't want to write you the ticket. My officers have the utmost of discretion on whether they write a ticket or not. I've tell them every day, use your discretion as you see fit. If someone is truly deserving of a ticket, write the ticket. You know, if you want to give someone a warning and you feel like that they're worthy of that warning, then write them a warning. But I will tell them and say, be fair with this though, across the board. I was like, be fair about everything you do. Be righteous in your actions. That's all I need you to do as a police officer. If you're righteous in your actions, and that is the foundation that we stand on here in the city of DeKalb, then you have no worries. And you know, and we're doing a great job in supporting, of course, our community when it comes to public safety. But I want to thank Scott and Paul, because we could not do this without you guys. We appreciate everything you guys do, especially when it comes to funding of grants and the programs that we need, and giving us that information that agencies need to make sure that they prepare for these grants and they get these grants and get awarded these grants. We couldn't do that without a lot of information we get from Scott and Paul and their agency. So thank you both for that.
Hey, Scott and Paul, before we show the picture of Chief Byrd, picture from 20 years ago with sunglasses on.
Wish it was 20 years ago.
Probably 40 years
36.
Ago. Yeah. It's further proof that he did have one chin back at one time of his life. Is there anything that we might have missed that you know you'd like to add on here at the end before we close out the segment of Behind the Badge, Illinois?
Well, I think at least for me, it's basically that, you know, this program that we were talking about, one is that while it goes to for an agency, it's really a community award, because it's the partnerships that you develop within the community to help support what your initiatives are as a police agency, but also to address the community's issues and problems to help make the community safer. You know, traffic law enforcement is law enforcement. There are things that come from being involved in this program that are only going to improve your quality of life within your jurisdiction or your town or your city or your county. And that it truly is community, and that's what we're all about.
Paul, you want to add anything at the end here?
Scott touched on it. Traffic enforcement is law enforcement. We also want people to know that not only traffic safety, but also community safety. We have an award that has nothing to do with the challenge. Any agency can apply for this award at any time. It's called Looking Beyond the Safety Belt. If an officer makes a traffic stop based on a seatbelt violation and they find evidence of a crime, then we will look at that. Last year, we had, I think, 5 troopers that picked up guns because they made a traffic stop for a seatbelt violation. The other thing I wanted to mention was Chief Byrd talking about STEP grants. The homicide suspect from Kansas who was stopped by a Mattoon police officer out on a STEP grant, one of our traffic grants, stopped this vehicle because he was out on the grant and he heard the Bolo come out, stopped this guy. Not only did he get the homicide suspect, but he recovered a kidnapped child.
Wow. So
the more people you put on the street, the better opportunity you have to get the bad guys. Bad guys drive cars.
Yeah. In closing, you had dropped the name Steve Cass Stevens, you know, a friend of the program. Can you confirm, because I've eaten many a lunch with him, that he's never paid for, but I've always had to pick up the bill.
So you
don't have to confirm that. I just did. But will you confirm that he is a plate picker? He will go on to other people's plates if he sees something that he likes to try it without even asking. He'll just, like, go in. He's a stealth plate picker. Would you confirm that?
I'm afraid I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yes. All right. You can't plead the fifth. All right, you plead the fifth. I understand. That's why you're protecting your friend. That's completely acceptable.
Just don't look away.
You just don't look away. All right. We're going to end it. Chief Brogelman, could you please share with the class? Look at this stunning specimen right there.
It's that mustache that does it, the whole thing.
The mustache is everything.
It's the brim. It's the hat. You want a piece of meat? I mean, that's the vibe I'm getting, right? Anything to do with anything going on in this picture. So don't even think about it. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Oh my God!
I don't know you guys.
36 years ago, boy.
Woo. Wow.
All right. Thanks for joining. Scott and Paul, thanks again, guys. Yes, this was outstanding. Chief Brogelman, Chief Bird, thank you. This has been another great episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. Like, share, and follow us.